Warm greetings from Denver, Colorado, and this is iFaith Message H in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going to say some things that seem highly critical of the system, although not completely so. And I would like to emphasize that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament system of Judaism with sacrifices and more, was a good thing. The law, the Torah, is spoken of in positive terms in the New Testament. The failure was that the people didn't keep it. And if you need to be convinced about that, that the law is good, the problem is with the people, not the laws, read Hebrews chapter 8. That'll help you. As we'll see, Bible teachers of the day interpreted the scriptures to support their own interests. There's a lot of self, a lot of love of money, taking advantage of others, being overly fond of honors and prestige. And Jesus was very strong in addressing the religious leaders of his day in Matthew, especially Matthew 23, but in other places too. So we're going to be looking at verses 17 and following of Matthew 5. Jesus says, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We could admit that this is not the easiest passage to understand. Many Christians are very confused. So he's not abolishing the law, so should I be sacrificing animals, or do I have to keep the Sabbath? What does it mean? Did he nail the law to the cross? There are many different ideas, and I'm going to try to make it simple and hopefully be accurate here. So Jesus is coming, and he's bringing a new, you could call it legislation. That is, he's the second Moses. Moses is on the mountain. He comes down and gives the Torah to the people. Jesus is portrayed in Matthew as a second Moses, a second teacher. And the rules, the laws, if you will, pertain to the kingdom of God. Jesus also knows that at first glance, some of the teachings that he'll be delivering, like the rest of Matthew 5, they may sound as though they contradict what Moses said. And that's why he explains in advance. He's not opposing the law. He's not invalidating it. He's not annulling it. But to use the biblical word fulfillment, he's fulfilling the law. What does he mean when he says, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments? Is he talking about the hundreds of Old Testament commandments? I don't think so. The commandments are Jesus' own commands, which are found throughout the gospel. Now, how did he fulfill the law? It's not just obedience to the law. Jesus didn't break the law. He obeyed it. And so you could say in a way he honored it, he fulfilled it. But it's more than that. And it's not cancellation. It's not annulment. Although it's true, we don't live under the law of Moses. God's message to us includes the Old Testament. And even the books of the law are still God's word for you and me. Rather, fulfillment, I think, is best understood as completion. So in a sense, we can say that Christianity is a fulfillment of Judaism. The trajectory, the direction that Judaism is going, it ends in the Old Testament, is incomplete. Not just because of unfulfilled prophecies. It's incomplete in many ways, but it's fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, who embodies the law perfectly. As a friend of mine put it, the early Christians understood Jesus to be saying that he was filling out the law. He was completing some parts of it while amplifying other parts. He was both reshaping it and sometimes widening it. So we need to have a positive attitude about the law of Moses. That's the first thing. What does it mean when he says not an iota will drop out of the law? Iota is the smallest letter of the Greek alphabet. It would be similar to the Hebrew yod, which is very small. It's like a Hebrew Y. or maybe the English lowercase I. So even the smallest letter, nothing's going to drop out. It's all important. All the Old Testament Torah is important. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you've not been studying the Torah, you're missing something. And this is not to say that we're called to obey the Torah, because it's not our law, but it is God's word for us. Think of that. So what is the time of fulfillment? Is it the cross? I used to teach that. I would quote John 19, verse 30, it is finished. And I would say, Jesus canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. That's Colossians 2:14. So the law is nailed to the cross, and it ends right then. And there's some truth to that. I mean, it is a huge transition, but I don't think that's what he's saying. I think the most likely meaning is that until Christ returns, the law will not pass away. Still, the New Testament teaches we're not bound by the temporary ritualistic requirements of Torah. A huge part of it is no longer binding. It's served its purpose. But we're still under what Paul calls the righteous requirements of the law, Romans 2:26. We still need to obey the righteous moral precepts taught by the law. The law is still relevant in that way too. Now this may be a lot to take in, but it's important to appreciate what Christ said. He's not come to just destroy, to knock down the whole system and start all over. There's so much good in the law. He's come to fulfill it, to show us what life looks like when we do what God wants, when we fulfill God's will. Good stuff, huh? Well, commandments. You may have wondered what I meant when I said these are Jesus' commandments, because a lot of Christians think Jesus didn't give commandments, only suggestions. And if you didn't obey them, it's okay. He's not going to judge you. That's a very twisted idea of Jesus. But I really think he's talking about his own commandments. Those who disregard these, Jesus calls least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the law of Moses did not pertain to the kingdom of heaven, right? So Jesus is telling his listeners that he expects them to honor his kingdom commandments with at least the same honor that the ancient Jews gave to the law of Moses. Now, you may think, but there are no laws, there are no commands in the gospel. But that's not true. For example, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one who loves me. And he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. That's from Gospel of John, John 14:21. Now, not all commandments are equally important. Matthew 23:23, we understand that. Some requirements of the law are weightier than others. Lesser ones, though, are not to be neglected. Obedience is expected. We need to take the Old Testament seriously. It distresses me that fewer and fewer Christians have even read the Old Testament, even though the Bible is a relatively short book, only 1,000 pages. I was teaching last night to a campus ministry group. Someone was asking about Hinduism and Buddhism and their scriptures. Well, Hindu scriptures are about 100 times as long as the Bible, and Buddhist scriptures are maybe 200 times as long. Bible really is short. There's no excuse not to become familiar with the entire thing. And we especially need to pay close attention to how the Old Testament is completed in the New Testament. Because when it comes to obeying God's commands, there's no room for slackness. And there's one more verse we're looking at in this talk. Jesus continues, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees, there were some good ones, but there are some bad ones. The system is messed up. It's a time of confusion. It's a time of poor leadership. And I suspect Jesus' words would have been shocking to many people, because the Pharisees were largely respected, unless I'm misreading the historical evidence. I mean, some of them were made fun of, but in generally they were respected. Now, the Sadducees and the priestly class, they were aristocratic. Many of the people who had that power were Sadducees. They were resented by the common people because they were aloof from the people. They were distant. They were very wealthy. They took advantage of them. Not all Pharisees were bad people. Think of Nicodemus, John 3. They were greatly respected among those who love Scripture. Pharisees were trying to cause revival. The idea was, rather than having to go to the temple, although they supported that, everyone's home becomes a temple. You know, the kitchen table, the dinner table, is where we will live out Judaism. Holiness, they taught, is not just for priests. A lot of those were Sadducees. It's for everybody. So it's not surprising the Pharisees believed that they were the ones who were fulfilling the law. Jesus says, no, you're not. And I'm not abolishing the law. I'm fulfilling it, and you'll see. And there's several faults, three I'll mention, that Jesus identifies in his teaching in these strong words. So think of the context here. The Pharisees are relaxing the true standard of Torah, and they're replacing it with their own version. What are these three problems? One, hypocrisy. Too many leaders simply played at holiness. When they prayed, they were full of themselves and pretense and pomp as they prayed on the street corners, Matthew 6:5, for public approval more than God's. They tended to look down on others who didn't keep the same set of rules, like tithing during Old Testament times, or non-biblical, beyond the Bible, other times of fasting. And the Pharisees would fast twice a week. We see this in Luke 18, for example. So that they would look down on others, but a lot of them were just playing. Secondly, man-made laws. Pharisees said that Moses received two sets of laws at Mount Sinai. One was written, the other he just passed on word of mouth, these traditions. And the Jews in the Mishnah around 200 AD put those oral laws, the ones that really didn't come to Moses, I don't believe, they wrote those things down. And so they were trying to protect people so they wouldn't disobey the law, but they created extra regulations so people wouldn't come too close and violate God's commandments. And they had endless discussions about what's legal and what makes for work. Like, you're not supposed to carry a load on the Sabbath. If you have a prosthetic limb, is that work? If your shoe's been repaired with nails, you're carrying a nail, you have to wear different shoes. Are you allowed to spit? Some thought that if you spit, you disturb the dust on the ground, and that might be a kind of plowing, swatting a fly. That might be a violation of a rule against hunting. Women shouldn't look into mirrors, because if they saw a gray hair, they might pluck it out, and that would be work. You could write in invisible ink, but not regular ink on the Sabbath. I mean, crazy stuff. And Jesus points out that some of these things just don't make sense, as in Matthew 15, Korban giving, instead of taking care of your parents in their old age, you simply give a gift in their name. So hypocrisy, man-made laws, and external religion. The Pharisees and Sadducees were meticulous in obeying the outward commandments of Torah, Matthew 23:23. But Jesus said we need to do better than that. We need to not only control our outward actions, but also our inward ones. The law forbids murder and adultery. Jesus forbids anger and lust. And he enables us, he gives us the power to change from the inside out. In our own day, such change will not be accomplished by a new kind of legalism. We've got to do, you know, people say, you got to give more than 10% to the church because the Pharisees gave 10 and your righteousness has to exceed theirs. I don't think that's what he's saying, that you have to give 11%. Not at all. Then we have to fast three times a week? This is nonsense. Telling people how many minutes to pray, how many people to share the faith with, that will not in the long term be effective. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. It's always easier to make up rules and feel good about it and then feel a bit irritated when people violate our rules. But what are our rules and what are God's commands? We've got to make a distinction there. So, external religion. So what have we seen in this talk? Jesus, in one way, he's opposed to the system, at least how it's turned out, although he's very positive about the law. And he embodies it in his life. If you want to know what it means to follow the law, just look at Jesus' life. In effect, he's saying that the entire religious system is off track. Now, we will never be able to accept his teachings, especially those core teachings, Matthew 5, 6, 7, if our hearts are not aligned with God's will. When it comes to God's law, we don't want to be like many of the Pharisees. No. We need to understand God's law, that is, Jesus' commands, are serious, and we need to have an attitude of obedience. Now, in the next talk, we'll look at anger, and that's the first of six areas where the Pharisees presumably had distorted God's law. I know it's a lot to think about today. Dwell, ponder, pray about it. See you next time for Lesson I on Anger.